This last sentence is very true. Yesterday our representative called at the hospital, and was informed that the girl was burned extensively on the back, and lies in a critical condition. She adheres to the belief that she was in the middle of the room, when her clothes ignited. A great deal, in trying to understand this occurrence, depends upon what will be thought of the unseen killing of chickens. Out of 250 fowls, Mr. White says that he has only 24 left. They have all been killed in the same weird way. The skin around the neck, from the head to the breast, has been pulled off, and the windpipe drawn from its place and snapped. The fowl house has been watched night and day, and, whenever examined, four or five birds would be found dead. In London, a woman sat asleep, near a grate, and something, as if taking advantage of this means of commonplace explanation, burned her, behind her. Perhaps a being, of incendiary appetite, had crept up behind her, but I had no data upon which so to speculate. But, if we accept that, at Benbrook Farm, something was savagely killing chickens, we accept that whatever we mean by a being was there. It seems that, in the little time taken by the farmer to put out the fire of the burning girl, she could not have been badly scorched. Then the suggestion is that, unknown to her, something behind her was burning her, and that she was unconscious of her own scorching flesh. All the stories are notable for absence of outcry, or seeming unconsciousness of victims that something was consuming them. The town of Market Raisin is near Benbrook Farm. The address of the clergyman who reported, to the SPR, the fires and the slaughterings of chickens, upon the farm, is Benbrook Rectory, Market Raisin. Upon January 16th, as told in the Louth and North Lincolnshire News, January 21st, there was, in a chicken house, at Market Raisin, a fire in which 57 chickens were consumed. Perhaps a fire in a chicken house is not much of a circumstance to record, but I note that it is said that how this fire started could not be found out. The girl of Benbrook Farm was taken to the Louth Hospital. In Lloyd's Weekly News, February 5th, there is an account of mysterious burns. It is the case of Ashton Claude, a man aged 75, who, the week before, had died in the Louth Hospital. It is said that he had fallen into a grate, while putting coals in it, and that, for some reason, probably because of his rheumatism, had been unable to rise, and had been fatally burned. But a witness at the inquest is quoted, "If there was a fire in the fireplace, it was very little. All around every place that we have noted, the revival was simmering, seething, or raging." In Leeds, women, who said that they were directed by visions, stood in the streets, stopping cars, trying to compel passengers to join them. A man in Tunbridge Wells, taking an exhortation literally, chopped his right hand off. Holy dancers appeared in London. At Driffield, someone led a procession every night, trundling his coffin ahead of him. And all this in England. And, in England, it is very much the custom to call attention to freaks and extravagances in other parts of the world, or more particularly in one other part of the world, as if only there occurred all the freaks and extravagances. Riots broke out in Liverpool, where the revivalists, with a medieval enthusiasm, attacked Catholics. The Liverpool City Council censured certain so-called religious meetings, which create danger to life and property. Also at Southend, there were processions of shouters, from which rushed missionaries to slug Catholics, and to sling bricks at houses in which lived Catholics. In the Liverpool Echo, February 6th, is quoted a magistrate, who said to a complainant, who, because of differences in a general doctrine of loving one's neighbors, had been assaulted, "When you see one of these processions, you should run away, as you would from a mad bull." Upon all the occurrences that we have noted was the one enveloping phenomenon of the revival. There is scarcely a place that I have mentioned, in any of the accounts, that was unagitated. Why is it that youngsters have so much to do with psychic phenomena? I have gone into that subject, according to my notions. Well, then, when a whole nation, or hosts of its people, goes primitive, or gives into atavism, or reverts religiously, it may be that conditions arise that are susceptible to phenomena that are repelled by matured mentality. A hard-headed materialist says, dogmatically, there are no occult phenomena. Perhaps he is right about this, relatively to himself. But what he says may not apply to children. When, at least to considerable degree, a nation goes childish with medievalism, it may bring upon itself an invasion of phenomena that in the Middle Ages were common, but that were discouraged or alarmed and were driven more to concealment, when minds grew up somewhat. If we accept that there is teleportation, and that there are occult beings, that is going so far that we may as well consider the notion that, to stop inquiry, a marauding thing, to divert suspicion, teleported from somewhere in Central Europe, a wolf to England, or that there may be something of the nature of an occult police force, which checks mischief and slaughter by the criminals of its kind, and takes teleportative means to remove suspicion, often solving one problem, only by making another, but relying upon conventionalizations of human thought to supply cloakery. The killing of poultry, the body on the railroad line stoppage scene shifting. The killing of sheep, the body on the railroad line stoppage. Farm and Home, March 16. That hardly had the wolf been killed, at Cumwinton, in the north of England, when farmers, in the south of England, especially in the districts between Tunbridge and Sevenoaks, Kent, began to tell of mysterious attacks upon their flocks. Sometimes three or four sheep would be found dying in one flock, having in nearly every case been bitten in the shoulder and disemboweled. Many persons had caught sight of the animal, and one man had shot at it. The inhabitants were living in a state of terror, and so, on the 1st of March, a search party of 60 guns beat the woods, in an endeavor to put an end to the depredations. A big dog. Another Malmuet? Nothing. This resulted in its being found and dispatched by one of Mr. R. K. Hodgson's gamekeepers, the animal being pronounced, on examination, to be a jackal. The story of the shooting of a jackal, in Kent, is told in the London newspapers. See The Times, March 2. There is no findable explanation, nor attempted explanation, of how the animal got there. Beyond the mere statement of the shooting, there is not another line upon this extraordinary appearance of an exotic animal in England, findable in any London newspaper. It was in provincial newspapers that I came upon more of this story. Blyth News, March 14. The Indian jackal, which was killed recently, near Sevenoaks, Kent, after destroying sheep and game to the value of £100, is attracting attention in the shop windows of a Derby taxidermist. Derby Mercury, March 15. That the body of this jackal was upon exhibition in the studio of Mr. A. S. Hutchinson, London Road, Derby. 15. In every organism, there are, in its governance as a whole, mysterious transportations of substances and forces, sometimes indefinite, circulatory paths, and sometimes specially, for special needs. In the organic view, teleportation is a distributive force that is acting to maintain the balances of a whole, with the seeming wastefulness sometimes, and niggardliness sometimes, of other forces, providing, or sometimes providing, new islands with vegetation, and new ponds with fishes, Edens with Adams, and Adams with Eves, always dwindling when other mechanisms become established, but surviving sporadically. Our expression is that once upon a time, showers of little frogs were manifestations of organic intelligence, in the choice of creatures that could survive, in the greatest variety of circumstances, if indefinitely translated from place to place. They'd survive in water, or on land, in warmth, or in coldness. But, if organic intelligence is like other intelligence, there is no understanding it, except as largely stupid, and, if it keeps on sending little frogs to places where they're not wanted, we human phenomena cheer up, thinking of the follies of existence, itself. I have never done foolisher, myself, than did nature when it, or she fatally loaded the tusks of mammoths, and planted a tree on the head of the Irish elk, losing species for the sake of displays. By intelligence I mean nothing that can be thought of as exclusively residing in, or operating in, brain substance, I mean equilibration, or adaptation, which pervades all phenomena. The scientific intelligence in human brains, and the physiologic intelligence that pervades the bodies of living things, wisely foolishly acts to solve problems, and somewhere in the beauty of a theorem, or of a peacock, lurks the grotesque. When nature satisfies us critics with such a graceful stroke as a swimming seal, she fumbles her seal on land. But there is another view. We apologizing theologians always have another view. Cleverness and stupidity are relative, and what is said to be stupidity has functional value. To keep on sending little frogs, where, so far as can be seen, there is no need for little frogs, is like persistently, if not brutally, keeping right on teaching Latin and Greek, for instance. What's that for? Most of the somewhat good writers know little of either. According to my experience, both of these studies, if at all extended, are of no active value, except to somebody who wants to write up to the highest and noblest standards of the past, and considers himself literary. But this is an expression upon the functions of stupidity. It is likely that showers of little frogs, and the vermiform appendix, and classical studies are necessary for the preservation of continuity between the past and the present. Some persons, who know nothing about it, must for ages go on piously believing in Sir Isaac Newton's doctrine. People who go to fortune tellers and people who go to church are functioning conservatives. If the last platypus or the last churchgoer should die off, there would be broken continuity. It would be a crack in existence. Perhaps to this day, a chink is stuffed with iguanas, which are keeping alive the dinosaur strain. Why is it that, when one's mind is not specializing upon anything, it is given to recalling past experiences? It is preserving continuity with the past, or is preserving whatever one can be thought of, as having, of identity. We shall have instances of the interruption of this process, in human minds. Perhaps if existence should stop sending little frogs, and stop teaching Latin and Greek, a whole would be in a state of amnesia. Our expression is that teleportation is enormously useful to life upon this earth, but our data have been, and for a while will continue to be, mostly of its vagaries, or its conservations.